Now joining us, Mike Seiden, my broadcast partner, as almost normally every week, David Dolan. David, as I said, I did talk with Bob a moment ago about the Bush-Maliki meeting in Amman. But I would like to know what the Israeli perspective on this meeting is. What actually was the Israeli reaction to the summit between Bush and Maliki?
Well, Jimmy, they didn't have an official government response, and that's going along with Israeli policy for really the last 3 years, since March of 2003, when U.S. and British forces went into Iraq. And that is to say, this isn't our story, this isn't our business, this is an American affair, and we're staying out of it. That seems to be the line that the Israeli government believes the U.S. government wants them to take, because, of course, it isn't really their problem firsthand. But, of course, unofficially, they're always happy to see the President of the United States involved in the Middle East, because that just gives Israel reassurance that the U.S. is watching things around the corner. And, you know, Israel feels quite isolated at times with the situation there, with so many neighbors that are hostile and so much activity going on. They always like to think that Uncle Sam is there. So no official reactions, Jimmy, but I think unofficially they were glad to see the president there. I think they are also happy that he's holding on to a pretty firm position regarding Iraq. They believe that the worst thing for the Middle East, and this is, again, not anything that's been said officially, but I've heard it from several sources off the record, the worst thing would be for the U.S. to just cut and run. That, they believe, would leave the whole region reeling, and so they're pretty happy to see President Bush's fairly strong, determined stand to stay the course, as it were, there.
Talk to me, David, about the side meeting. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice had a meeting with President Abbas of the Palestinian Authority in Jericho, and then a meeting in Jerusalem with Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. Any progress in the peace process as a result of these meetings?
Well, she was very disappointed to hear the report from Abbas that the unity talks, the attempts to form a unity Palestinian government, have come to an end, have failed, and it looks like that's it. They won't be resurrected again. She said that the United States continues to back the Palestinian Authority leader. That is, of course, Abbas, in his desire to form a more stable government, really to get rid of Hamas from the government. But Hamas isn't budging. They won't accept the conditions that Abbas is laying down, which are also U.S. and Israeli conditions, that they agree to honor all previous peace accords, that they formally renounce terrorism against Israel, and that they accept the permanence of the Israeli state. Well, Hamas just isn't willing to say that out loud, so it looks like that's a non-starter. The talks have failed. She did discuss that with Ehud Olmert and other issues, of course. She said that the United States is very glad for Olmert's, really steadfastness this week in not responding to 14 Qassam rocket attacks, Jimmy, since the ceasefire went into effect last weekend. Olmert says, well, you know, we're going to give the Palestinians a little bit more time to really get this under control, basically Abbas a little bit more time. But there is some growing pressure in Israel to respond to that. But Condoleezza Rice appreciated that stand from Olmert, so she said.
Well, in addition to that, of course, that had to play along with his speech made earlier this week when he offered to the Palestinian people a hand forth with much concession inside of that hand. I mean, many concessions to be in reality, the Jewish settlements to be given up, in addition to that, a Palestinian state, the releasing of funds to the Palestinian Authority. What's been the reaction both in the Palestinian world and among the Israeli politicos as well?
Well, I can tell you that again, this is off the record, but security officials are telling Israeli media outlets that they are against this proposal, that they believe that Qassam rockets will be launched at Israeli towns from Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, if any sort of a Palestinian state is established there, if any more settlements are removed, that this will further Hamas's agenda to destroy Israel. So it may be a political position, but it doesn't seem to have the backing of the security establishment. That would be the army, the Secret Service, etc. Now, they did back, of course, the Gaza unilateral withdrawal, but that's another matter. One report I saw, Jimmy, pointed out that of the 33 Israelis killed in the last year in Palestinian violent attacks, five have emanated from the Gaza Strip. Most of those have come from Judea and Samaria, so they're just saying the situation is not anywhere near stable enough for Israel to really make these concessions, and it's believed to be really a political statement without much chance of being implemented.
Well, and again, with your statement a few moments ago that the talks between the Palestinians, the Hamas and Fatah, about a unity government seemingly at a dead end, this speech that offered the outreach tan of peace to the Palestinians by Ehud Olmert earlier this week, it's really at a dead end as well, is it not?
Well, it would seem so. Again, if you read all of his conditions, certainly he's saying this is Israel's position, but of course it's been part of Israel's official position since the Oslo Peace Accords were signed in 1993, the understanding being that Israel would allow a Palestinian state to emerge in the evacuated territories and would certainly take down a lot of the Jewish communities, settlements, in the process of establishing that. But always put forth as the condition for that is that the Palestinians, a very reasonable condition, end their state of war with Israel and officially recognize Israel's permanent existence, permanent borders, etc. These are just positions that Hamas is not willing to take. So certainly as long as Hamas is in any way running things, as they still are, now Abbas may fire the Hamas government, that's one proposal, or call some sort of a referendum and try to get them, try to hold new elections where they will no longer be, you know, the dominant party. If those things happen, then maybe this will proceed, but certainly under the current conditions, very unlikely.
You know, one of the things that I noticed from this speech he made at the front of the week was that he was willing to give up the Jewish settlements, those Jewish communities out there in Judea and Samaria. You know, during the war with Hezbollah earlier this summer, he basically said that was off the table, withdrawing from these Jewish settlements. Then just before he departed for his meeting with President Bush at the White House, he let that surface again in his statement. Now he's really basically blatantly offering these Jewish settlements up to the Palestinians if indeed they will give peace to Israel. The Jewish settlers going to stand by and let that happen?
Well, certainly not without a major fight. But again, I think the sense that I've gotten from talking to people in Israel and from just going through the media reports on it is that this is a statement of principle. In other words, he's saying, look, we were elected, the Kadima Party, on this platform, and just because of the war, I haven't totally abandoned the platform, but the practicality of implementing it, the imminence, et cetera, is just not there. So I think if the settlers felt that this was something that he was really going to push hard on now and that it had a fair chance of going through, they would be fighting mad. But I think the expectation is that this is just a rhetorical statement. This is his official position, as it were, but nothing that is in any way going to be implemented at this time, because again, there's just simply no peace partner there, and there's no way that the Israeli public is going to stand for setting up a Hamas state just next to Jerusalem or Tel Aviv. And until they're out of the picture, that's just a non-starter, and they are certainly very much still in the picture.
David, for a period of time in your 20-plus years in the Middle East covering news events, you lived up in Lebanon, on Friday an unbelievable mass rally against the Lebanese government. The Hezbollah supporters and pro-Syrian supporters with, I read some numbers, over 800,000 people up there, the largest rally ever in the history of Lebanon. What does that say? I mean, is the Lebanese government going to fall? Will Lebanon go to civil war again? Will Hezbollah take over the lead of the government?
Well, Jimmy, there's just another reason why one could say Olmert's speech was rhetorical, because the reality is the Middle East seems to be sliding towards a general breakdown, a general war, not imminent peace. And a big part of that slippage towards war is Lebanon. The situation extremely unstable following the summer war. Iran apparently deciding to push its proxy force Hezbollah into the leadership position there over all of the country. Of course, the Shiites are a powerful force there, and as you said, that was a mass rally. Nonetheless, they are only about 35-40% of the overall population. A majority of the Lebanese are either Sunni Muslims or Maronite Catholics, Greek Orthodox as well, and there's no way that those people want a Hezbollah government to run the country. So the only way that this can succeed is through non-democratic means. In other words, that they simply oust the Senora government. They simply take over by a violent means. But that will certainly prompt a armed reply from these other groups, the Sunnis and the Maronite Catholics. So civil war is what would be on the cards there. Now, that, of course, is probably what Iran wants, because they feel that, they're in a winning game here and they can eventually take over. But if it happens, Jimmy, it'll just so destabilize the region. Just to even have these marches is a very, very nerve-wracking thing. And, of course, the assassination of Jamal a little over a week ago added to that. It's a very unstable situation, very critical. And, again, an indication that we're seemingly heading towards a conflict with Syria and Iran and not any sort of a peace deal with the Palestinians or to do with Lebanon anytime soon.
And this whole scenario that you've just described for us goes along with the comments made by Jordanian King Abdullah, who said that he sees possibility of three different civil wars taking place in the Middle East, one in Iraq, one in Lebanon, and I think he was mentioning one in Israel. What are your thoughts on what the king had to say?
Well, I think he's right on the money there. Certainly the Palestinians are heading towards a showdown. Hamas is not going to willingly give up the power that they assumed in this last election to the Fatah, to Abbas. So really there has been clashes going on there for the better part of this year between the Palestinian factions. Lebanon, we haven't seen armed clashes yet, but certainly any attempt by Hezbollah to actually seize power there will provoke an armed response there, a civil war. And, of course, Iraq is virtually in the middle of that already. So it's not a long shot at all. These do seem to be very likely possibilities. And I could add a fourth if Olmert were to, which he won't do, but if he were to proceed with dismantling settlements, I would predict something approaching civil war in Israel. Amongst the Jewish people. So, the whole region is extremely unstable at present. And, of course, the king of Jordan is worried about his throne and his government being able to weather all of this instability all around. And it's something that Israeli analysts are concerned about as well.
I thought it was very interesting, your statement about a civil war among the Jews. Prophetically, that is called for to some extent in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 15 to 23. Very interesting thoughts. Well, that's one of the reasons that we bring David Dolan alongside of us right here as a broadcast partner on Prophecy Today, for the purpose of giving you insight into what is happening in our Middle East news update. David, good journeys to you. Thank you so much. We'll be talking again soon.
You're welcome, Jimmy. Thank you.